Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, Hebrews chapter 11. If you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet, turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I've been telling you all over the past few weeks we're going to start a series on faith. We're going to do exactly that today. I didn't lie to you. It wouldn't be good if your pastor lied to you. We're going to talk about fundamental faith. I want to read first Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And I'm not going to necessarily go through this text in an expository manner today. We're more going to use it as a baseline or a foundation for to set up for what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. I really just want to talk to you today about faith. About what faith is, what faith is not, about how it's so fundamental in our life. In fact, Madison and I just got away this past weekend and we were seeking the Lord for vision for 2025. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me is 2025 is meant to be a year of fundamentals. We're going to focus on the fundamental practices of what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. And so as we begin this year, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Now, I've heard a lot of people get really excited and preach this and talk about now faith. Now faith. Like, not yesterday's faith, now faith. If you look up this word, it doesn't actually mean like present right now faith. It just means moreover, because it's carrying over for what he ended in chapter 10. So while people may get very excited and Pentecostal about the now faith, that's not actually what it's saying, okay? Just not that those people are wrong. I believe you should have faith now, but that's not what this passage is saying. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand." I want you, that's the first thing I want you to gain today. By faith we understand. So if you're not living and operating in faith, your understanding is hindered. Okay, so faith opens us up to understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. Verse 4 says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." I find it interesting that the writer of Hebrews goes all the way back to the book of Genesis to show us that faith was at work even when Cain and Abel were on the earth. "So by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for faith. The gift of faith that you have given according to the book of Romans, each man has received a measure of faith. And I pray that today we would be encouraged, edified, our eyes would be open to understand the power of faith and what it truly means. I pray that you would empty me of me, fill me fresh anew with your Holy Spirit, that I would be able to speak the utterances that can only come from you. I pray for every ear to hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. God, may we not be closed-minded, but I pray for open minds and open hearts today to what you're saying and to what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to start by telling you my subtitle is "Faith is the Foundation of Our Comprehension." Because in verse 3, I pointed out to you that it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." So faith is the foundation of our comprehension. It enables us to be able to comprehend the fact that there was a creator, and he created everything that we see in this world simply by speaking a word. And so faith unlocks our understanding and enables us to grasp the truth of how our world was formed by our Creator. When it comes to life with God, if you don't start with faith, nothing else will make sense. Okay? Everything begins with faith. That's why in verse 6, the writer of Hebrews goes on to say this: but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For if anyone is going to come to God, he must first believe, that's the word, that's like faith, he must believe that He is, that means that He exists, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if we're going to please God, and if we're going to come to Him, we first have to believe that He is. That's why I say everything with God begins with faith. Everything that God does, it takes us coming into agreement with what He is saying, what He is doing by faith. So biblical faith is the foundational block that unlocks our ability to understand the origins of the world we live in, the current affairs that we face, and the future that is imminent. So biblical faith is the foundational block that unlocks our ability, our comprehension, to understand the origins, because by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. Faith enables us to understand what we're currently seeing in front of our eyes today, but it also gives us hope for the future that we're going to live in. Now, I'm going to use the terminology biblical faith throughout the series because I want to combat the misguided and misappropriated doctrine of faith that has been hijacked by American Christianity. So I may talk about biblical faith throughout this series because I want you to understand that we can't just go off of what someone else said faith was. We have to look at what the Bible says faith is. So I'm not even asking you to trust me on what I say faith is. I want our basis and understanding of faith to be locked into the Word of God, because we believe that the Word of God is our ultimate source of truth. It's inerrant. It doesn't contain the words of God. It is the Word of God. And so we should look at biblical faith and not what someone you heard on TV said faith was, not what your last pastor or even what I say faith is. I want you to search and seek and find out from God, from His Word, what is faith? Now, let me say this. Let me start with what faith is not, because sometimes determining what faith is starts with determining what faith is not, and that can work for anything. Faith is not the ability to twist God's arm into accomplishing your will because you believe enough. That's what the faith movement preached. And I'm not against a faith movement, because Romans says whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So everything that we do should come from faith. What I'm saying is this: faith is not if you believe enough it will happen. That's not faith. That's actually called stupidity. That's called false doctrine. That if you believe enough, God will do it. No, not if your will is not the same as His will. You see, faith happens when you come into alignment with the will of God. Because that's why people say, well, if you believe enough, you will be healed. I believe that. Why? Because I believe that God's will is to heal you. So I do believe that. But I don't believe that if you just believe enough, you'll receive $1 million, unless God has told you or God has purposed in His heart that you are to be the recipient of $1 million. And then you better be believing for $1 million to come. But we can't just dream things up in our mind and go, I believe it, so therefore God should do it. The basis of faith is that we trust God in and for His will. Now, faith is also not speaking things that are not as though they were. That's what so many people have taught. If you're a person of faith, you just need to speak it. Speak it until it happens. Just speak it into existence. I do not believe that as human beings, apart from God, we have the ability to speak things into existence, because only God can do that. Because go back to Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the words of God, not by a person. Adam didn't speak the world into existence. Adam didn't speak animals into existence. God spoke animals into existence. God spoke the world into existence. God spoke mankind into existence. And so I don't believe that you can blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. Okay, I'm just going to say that. I don't believe that. In fact, many people will claim Romans 4:17, and they will say, well, brother or sister, you need to call those things that are not as though they were. But look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17 with me. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of Him whom He believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who has that power? Who has that ability? God. We don't have that ability. We don't have that power. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't come into agreement. You shouldn't speak things in faith. What I'm saying is this. It's not us that is able to call things out as though that are not as though they were. It's God that holds that. Our words are to come into agreement with his purposed will for our life, his plan for our destiny. I believe that, as it says in Proverbs, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm not saying that your words don't hold power. What I'm saying is simply, I do not believe that faith makes us the God of our own destiny. I believe that faith in God makes way for us to live in the destiny that he prepared for us, okay? Now, the next thing I want to talk about is through faith in Jesus Christ and faith in him alone, we receive salvation. Now, you know this, Jesus spoke it in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus is the only way to the Father. But do you know how we actually come to Jesus? Is we come to Jesus by faith, okay? Because it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. And he says, and that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So by grace through faith. Faith and grace are gifts of God. They are not to be earned, nor are they revocable. To each man and woman has been granted the opportunity to know him and to be used by him. But we cannot even come to God unless it is by way of the faith and the grace that he has granted to us. Now, I want you to get this, because I know I'm saying by faith and faith alone in Jesus, you can receive salvation. But the scripture says by grace through faith. So grace is the opportunity, but faith is the means that welcomes you into that opportunity. Let me put it this way. Grace is the road to salvation, but faith is the vehicle that drives you on the road to reach that destination of salvation. So faith brings salvation. If we didn't have the measure of faith that the book of Romans says to each man God has given a measure of faith, if we didn't have that faith, we could never be saved. Okay, so faith, that's why I say it's fundamental. Without faith, we can't even have the salvation that it promises us, assurance with God forever in eternity. So we receive salvation. We also, the Bible says, are justified by faith. So not only are we welcome to spend eternity with God being what we call saved, but we're also justified. I'm so glad that God didn't just save me, he justified me. He didn't just go, okay, everything you've done up until this point, you've done it, you're still accountable for it, and it's going to hang over your head while you're here on this earth, and you're going to feel guilty about it, you're going to feel shameful about it, it's going to be integrated into the very fibers of who you are, and you're going to carry it around, but one day, when you get to heaven, that'll all be gone. Justification means I get to live on earth as it is in heaven. I get to live free here. I get to live forgiven here. I get to be justified and fully cleansed and pardoned for everything that I've done in the past, so that while I walk out the rest of my journey here on earth, that's not holding over my head. I know I'm cleansed. I am forgiven. Scriptural proof and reference to this is Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't have to wait till I get to heaven. In fact, I don't like it when I hear songs or I hear people say, well, one day when we get to heaven, we'll shed all of this sin, all this. I'm like, I got to shed sin here. I got to get rid of that here. I don't have to live in condemnation and guilt and in shame. I've been justified. And because of that, I have peace with an all-knowing God. Do you realize that the only way to have peace with a God that knows everything is to not have anything holding you back or any baggage, any condemnation, any guilt? That word justified means free. So by faith, we receive freedom. Yeah. It means justify. It means to be righteous, to be in a right standing, good position with our Creator. It's from the Greek word dikaios, and it means to render innocent, free, justify or justifier, to be righteous, and I love this one, to acquit. By faith, we've been acquitted for every wrongdoing that we have ever committed in our life. So you can see the fundamentals of faith. Faith brings salvation. Faith brings justification. This is what I want to talk to you about for a moment today. By faith, we can expect miracles to be commonplace in our life. By faith, we as believers in Jesus Christ should expect the miraculous to take place. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, it says, but Jesus turned around when he saw her. This is speaking of the woman with the issue of blood, that for 12 years she had been burdened by an incurable disease. She tried doctor after doctor. The Bible says that she had exhausted every resource that she had at her disposal, yet without finding any kind of relief or any kind of healing. And she'd been going through life in a tormented state, completely being ostracized by her family, because you have to understand, by the law, if you had a flow of blood, you were unclean. You couldn't be around your family. And so she didn't just experience this for 3 or 4 days out of the month. For 12 years, she has been rejected and set apart by her family, not able to be in society and wondering what's going on and why can't I be healed? And she heard of a man named Jesus who was walking down the road, and she'd heard this, that he does miracles. If you don't hear anything else I have to say today, I hope you hear that God still performs miracles by Jesus Christ, and that by faith in him, he and he alone can do the miraculous in your life. So she heard, oh wow, there's a miracle worker. He's Jesus of Nazareth. And so she tries to get to him, but there's so many people trying to hear and see Jesus that it's just completely packed on the road. So she gets on her hands and her knees and she says and thinks within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed of my infirmity. And so she crawled hand and knee over a road that we don't know. It probably wasn't paved very nicely. It probably was jagged and difficult to get through, fighting through people. But when she reached him, she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? Peter was like, what are you talking about, Jesus? There's hundreds of people around. Everybody's touching. Jesus said, no, I don't mean who touched me. I mean who touched me. Because when someone touched me, I felt healing virtue flow out of my body. And she says, I touched you, Jesus. You know what he says? It says he turned around, and when he saw her, he said to her, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Faith is the currency on which miracles are exchanged. If you need a miracle in your life, I want you to know you have the faith already given to you as a gift from God to access the miracle that God wants to do in your life. You do just have to simply believe. Come into alignment with what his will is, what his plan is, what he has spoken. When we operate in faith, we are putting ourselves in the place to get the access of heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we operate in faith, we are coming into alignment with what God wants to do for our life. So faith bridges the invisible gap between heaven and earth. Have you ever felt far from God? And you're like, I feel like every prayer I pray is hitting the ceiling. Well, first you should probably start with repentance and making sure that you're right with God. God, by faith, I want to be justified. I want to be made righteous. But then if you still feel far, you need to stay in faith, and you realize that faith will bridge the invisible gap between heaven and earth. Faith is this. It's an invitation for God to work in ways that we cannot. When we say, God, I'm putting this in your hands, what we're saying is, I'm asking you to do what I can't do on my own. At my job, I can't fix this problem that I'm facing, so I need you to help me in it. With my finances, with my body, I need you to do what I cannot do. And I want you to know today that we believe this, and I hope that you subscribe to the same thought pattern, that miracles are not obsolete. They are meant to be commonplace in the life of the believer. And that is why faith is so important, because by faith, miracles become commonplace in the life of the believer. Now, even that terminology, believer, should lend to the ideology that we trust that nothing is impossible with our God. I believe, right? I believe that he did come and he did die on a cross so that nothing would be impossible. I do believe that what he said is true. With God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. And so the terminology believers, though, does not speak of those who simply believe in God's existence, but believe in his preeminence. When you say I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that I just believe he exists. I believe that he's powerful. I believe that he is mighty. I believe that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Because James makes us aware of the fact that even demons believe and tremble. So when we say believers, we're not just talking about believing in the existence. We're talking about believing in the omnipotence of our God. In the strength of our God. So we don't just believe that he is, but we believe that his nature is good. And it goes back to Hebrews 11:6, where it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For if anyone's going to come to him, he must first believe that he is, so that is the starting point, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, even demons believe and they tremble, but we believe that he's good. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will produce miracles in my life that I could not produce in and of my own strength. And so I want this house to be a house of miracles. I want to see people getting healed in this altar, delivered in this altar, set free in this altar, families restored, minds made new. And I don't believe that it's confined to this. I believe that what takes place in the church should become commonplace in the marketplace. Why? Because faith is not confined to four corners or four walls of the church, but faith can go anywhere and everywhere because it's something that God has placed inside of us. And so faith enables miracles to become commonplace in our life. By faith, the word of God becomes profitable in our life. You know, I've spent a lot of time reading the word of God, but not every time that I opened up this sacred book did it speak to me and transform my life. It held the power to every single time, but it didn't do it every time. And the fault didn't lie in the book or in the word. It lied in me. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the word of God is alive. It's active according to Hebrews chapter 4. He goes on to say that 10 verses later in verse 12. But it becomes active only when we mix it with faith. Choosing to believe that what is written is 100% accurate and powerful enough to transform our life. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed. Some translations say inspired by God, but I like the terminology that most of them use. It's God-breathed, and it is profitable or beneficial for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction, training in righteousness. So the word of God was preached, it says in Hebrews 4, to two groups of people. One group, it didn't profit them at all because they didn't mix it with faith. Everyone can come into this sanctuary on Sunday morning and I can preach the same word to everybody and some people leave and it becomes profitable in their life. It becomes doctrine. It becomes gospel truth in their life. And all of a sudden, things become advantageous for them. And they begin to reap the benefits of what I was talking about last week about being prosperous and being healthy and being wise and God directing your path. And then some people can come in here and they can sit in it and they go out and they go, well, why doesn't it work? Because you didn't mix it with faith. But when you mix it with faith, the word of God becomes profitable as it was spoken by Paul to Timothy. So not everyone who has ever heard or read the word of God has experienced the profitableness that it has the power to produce because not everyone mixes it with faith. Faith creates a reactionary measure of productiveness in our hearts when it comes in contact with the word of God. So that's why it's important to have a steady diet of the word. In fact, I would encourage you in 2025, make 2025 the year that you read the Bible more than you've ever read it before. Not out of religious obligation, but out of hunger, out of desire. And when you read it, mix it with faith. Do you remember when you were a child and they taught you the volcano effect of baking soda and vinegar? Did you guys ever do that to create a volcano? You would put baking soda and then you'd pour vinegar in there and it would sprout out. We'd put a little red food coloring in there so it looked like lava and we would love to do that. That's what it's like when you mix the word of God with faith. You see, if you poured water on that baking soda, it'd just stay in the canister. But when you pour vinegar on it, it creates a reaction. Why? Because the vinegar touching the baking soda, I'm not a scientist by any means whatsoever, something happens in there and it comes out. That's all I know, and it's fun to watch. It works on cleaning your drains too, by the way. But every Christian, no matter their age or their maturity level, needs to have faith in their God to do the impossible. Why? Because we all face impossible situations. And without faith, we won't make it through those situations. And mixing the word of God with faith is what produces a reactionary measure of productiveness for the word to become effective in our life. If we do not have faith, then there's no life, hope for life here on this earth. In fact, the other day I was at Publix. I love Publix, by the way. And especially, I shouldn't talk about it because we're fasting and there's so many great things in there. I love their key lime pie. I don't know why that's coming to mind, but it's good. And I had on this hat that I bought. And this hat, it's red and it has big white letters on it. Some of you guys already think you know what I'm talking about. And it says, no, not Alabama. Good guess, though. Alabama only has one letter on it, so the A. But I guess some of them could say Alabama. But it says, make prayer great again, right? You guys are familiar with make America great again. Well, I bought one that says make prayer great again because I truly believe that even though I think politics are important, I don't think that any one politician can save America. I really don't. I believe that it's us returning to prayer and faith in God. And I had this hat on. Now, as you can imagine, most people automatically think it's a Make America Great Again hat. They think it's a MAGA hat, but it's not. It's a Make Prayer Great Again hat. And this guy looked at me, he took one glance at my hat, and he said, I like your hat. And I knew exactly, because he had on a hat that said Trump on it, I knew exactly that what he thought my hat was. And I said, oh, yeah, thanks, man. And I don't take the time to go, oh, actually, if you read it, it actually says make prayer great again. I'm just like, whatever. I was like, thanks, man, appreciate it. And he said this. He said, yeah, we can hope again. And I said, I never stopped hoping. I never stopped hoping. And I would hate, and I'm not trying to make an object lesson of this guy. I'm just making an object lesson of this guy. But I would hate to be a person or in the place of a person, because not that there's no hope for that type of thinking. I would hate that all of my hope rested on a political leader getting elected. I never stopped hoping. You know why? Because I never lost faith in the fact that we serve a God who can do the impossible. I just believe that no matter who sits in the White House, God sits on the throne. And that's where my hope and my faith is in. The simplest definition of faith, and I'll begin to do my best to begin to wrap this up. The simplest definition of faith is this. It's taking God at his word. That's what faith is. That's why it's important to read the word. Because when I read the word, I know the word. When I know the word, I can put my faith in what God has already said. And I can see it begin to happen in my life. Creating impossible situations, making impossible situations possible. Hebrews chapter 11, which I'm sure we'll explore more in this series, lists what we call the Hall of Faith. In the Hall of Faith, there's people who did seemingly impossible things simply because of this truth. They took God at his word. He told them to do it and they did it. Faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. If you want to know what does faith look like, faith looks like obedience. The book of Romans, which is Paul's greatest expository work, heralded by Christians and non-Christians alike, is the greatest literary work of all time. And in the book of Romans, he gives us the foundational principles for how the gospel works. In fact, I would say this, you may disagree with me, but if I could only choose one book of the Bible to have for the rest of my life, I would probably choose the book of Romans. And I would read it over and over again. Not that all scripture is not God-breathed, but I do believe that Romans gives such a broad understanding of who God is, what God can do, and how he wants to use us to do it, and how we should work together as the body of Christ. But I find it interesting because in the book of Romans, both in the first chapter and in the 16th chapter, which is the last chapter, Paul uses a phrase for the obedience to the faith. For the obedience to the faith. Meaning it's paramount for him. It's the starting point and the ending point for what he wants to communicate in that great book. In chapter 1, verse 5, he begins with this statement, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. So he understands that even though I'm called by God, I should still live my life in a way that I'm being obedient to the faith that he has given me to walk in. He concludes in chapter 16, 26 and 27 saying, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith To God alone, wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. So you know what he's saying in the beginning? He's saying, I, even though I'm an apostle, I still have to live in obedience to the faith. Chapter 16, he's talking to everybody should live in obedience to the faith. Why? Because obedience is faith, and faith is obedience, showing us that everything in our life should begin and end in faith. If you go back a few chapters to chapter 14, verse 23 of Romans, he says, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. The word sin in the Greek means to miss the mark. So let's look at it this way. Obedience to faith, instead of to ourselves or our own feelings, keeps us in alignment with God's will for our life. All of your days were written in a book. God knows the end from the beginning. He's purposed things for you. He loves you so much, and he so believes in you that he made a plan for you, and there's people he wants you to reach. There's differences he wants you to make in this life, but we're never going to see the fulfillment of that destiny and those promises if we don't stay submitted in obedience to the faith like Paul is talking about. So faith keeps us on target. Obedience is the works part of faith. James rightly stated that faith without works is dead. So how do we have works in accordance with our faith? But by being obedient to the work that God has called us to do. Something that's dead has no use, has no value. But obedience to faith is taking God at his word, and it has great use and value, not only for us, but for those around us. So another thing faith does is faith enables us to advance his kingdom, be a difference maker, and encounter his miraculous presence at every turn. I want to close with this thought. I know I said I was already closing, but we're going to say it again. Faith is not opposed to reason. Some people say, well, I just don't believe that because I have faith. Faith is not opposed to reason, okay? You can't just state, well, I have faith, that's not going to happen. The question is, did God want it to happen? Not, do you believe enough that it shouldn't happen? Did God want it to happen? You look at scripture, I don't believe that God is the originator of anything bad, but I do believe that God allows things to happen to bring people to him. Jesus put the disciples in a boat full well knowing they were going into a storm. Explain that. Well, they should have had more faith and said, I'm not going to go through the storm. You see, some people think that faith enables you to never have any rocky moments in your life. That's not what faith is. Faith is what gets you through the storm. Faith is what keeps you with your eyes on Jesus when you want to look at the waves around you. Faith is not believing, well, that shouldn't happen or that couldn't happen or God would never allow that to happen. Faith is saying, God, what do you want in the middle of this? And I'm going to hold holy fast to that alone. So faith is not opposed to reason. Faith simply gives us the strength that we need in order to face the trials and the triumphs of our life with proper perspective, meaning keeping our eyes on the Father. Some people would say, how can you claim to have faith when so many bad things happen in the world? I would ask, how can you live and remain sane apart from faith while so many bad things are happening? Right? So not, I look at it and go, how can I have faith in a God when so many bad things happen? My thought is, if I did not have faith in God while so many bad things were happening, I would absolutely lose it on people and in my own mind. Because I wouldn't be able to function or cope. If not for my faith in God, guess what? I would have written off humanity a long time ago. But it's only because I believe in him. And I believe that people can be converted. People can be made new, just like I've been. Faith is, as it says at the beginning of Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not yet seen. What does that mean? That means faith keeps me in touch with what can be and reminds me of what God has promised to do. Yeah. You ever wonder, what does that mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not yet seen. It means this, that it keeps me in touch with what can be, what is possible through God, and what he's promised that he will do. The disciples came to Jesus in Luke 17 and they said, Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Now, what a great question to ask. Wouldn't we think, man, that's so spiritual. Lord, increase my faith. I love how Jesus responds. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Let me stop right there. So Jesus doesn't go, guys, great question. Let me lay my hands on you and give you more faith. He says, if you guys already had faith that's the size of a mustard seed, which you've probably seen in an illustration how small a mustard seed actually is, but when a mustard seed is planted, Jesus said, it becomes one of the greatest and biggest trees, and even the birds of the air find their nest in it. So what great things can come from little faith. In verse 7, though, he says this, in which of you, because remember, I'm telling you this, that faith is simply obedience, and obedience is faith. Faith is taking God at his word. That's the simplest definition I can give you. Listen what Jesus says, and remember what they said to him in context. In which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once, sit down, eat. But would he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Showing us that Jesus equates faith to obedience, and obedience to faith. He doesn't change the subject. He simply deepens our understanding of the subject. When it comes to faith, they just wanted him to give them more faith so they could see more. He says, no, you need to use the faith you already have and realize that faith is just doing what you've been told to do by your master. Some people say, I'm taking a step of faith. And them taking a step of faith is about as smart as me taking a step off the edge of the Empire State Building, because there ain't nothing to hold you up. Amen. When you step off the Empire State Building, you're in God's hands, right? But it would be ridiculous for me to say, I'm going to prove to every one of you in here that I have faith in God by going to the Empire State Building and jumping off of it. That would be so stupid. No one would be like, that's my pastor. Let's get behind him, man. Everyone would be like, we just need to go ahead and start looking, Googling churches in Fort Payne. And because this one's about to be out of a pastor, right? There's not going to be anybody there to preach next week. But some people, that's how they are. I'm taking a step of faith. What they mean is I'm about to do something stupid and hopefully God rescues me, right? I'm about to really make a bad financial decision. You know what? Let's just take a step of faith and put it on the credit card. That's not faith, okay? Let's just take a step of faith and open up, you know, a Build-A-Bear workshop on the third floor of an office building. That's not a step of faith. That's stupid, okay? Because no one's going to come to that. No one's going to do that. I will say this. If you're going to take a step of faith, you need a word to step out on. By faith, we understand that by his word, the worlds were framed. He's still framing your world by his words. So that means if you're going to take a step of faith, it better be on what he has spoken, yeah. On what he has said. Not just, I'm going to do something and I'm going to have faith that God will meet me and he will catch me. By faith, I can go over to the airport and fly a plane. No, I can't. Not unless God spoke to me and said, go to the airport and fly a plane. I believe that if God spoke to me in my heart and said, go to the airport, he would provide everything necessary or someone to fly the plane for me. Some way he would make it happen. He would make it possible. But I can't just decide in and of myself, I'm going to go fly that plane. That's not faith. That's stupidity. By faith, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, Noah built a boat. Noah wasn't sitting at the dining table with his wife and kids and goes, I've got an idea, everybody. Let's build a boat. Why, Dad? Well, I think it's about time for God to destroy the earth. And so I think we should just build a boat. No, it says that Noah was divinely warned. And by faith, so Hebrews is equating faith to obedience because God told him to build a boat. Noah built a boat. He didn't just someday. Now, everybody thought it was crazy, but he had a word to stand on. So it says, by faith, Abraham offered up, as you go in and read through the Hall of Faith, by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. Isaac, or Abraham, same thing. He wasn't sitting at the dinner table going, Sarah, hey, you know our son, our only son? I think I should kill him. I think I should take him and roast him on an altar like a sheep. And Sarah's like, yeah, great idea. Right? Like, that's not how it went. God spoke to Abraham. He said, take your son. Your only son, Isaac. So these crazy, we see people do crazy stuff in the Bible. They go, well, they took a step of faith. Yeah, because God told them to. Yeah. Not because they just got this wild hair. By faith, it says the walls of Jericho fell when they marched around the city for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, they blew trumpets and they shouted, which sounds crazy, but God told them to do it. They had a word from God. And because they had a word from God, the city was defeated and the people of God were delivered. So are you getting a theme here? Here's the theme. Faith is not you doing something drastic and expecting God to bless it. Faith is you taking God at his word and expecting God to bless it. I'm not saying you shouldn't expect God to bless it as long as it was his idea. The only person in Hebrews chapter 11 that it seems like it was their idea was Abel offering a sacrifice to God. That's it. All the other ones, it was God told them to do it. I believe that the one area where we can operate in faith is by sowing a seed of sacrifice. That when Abel gave, that's why we're talking about first fruits. I believe you should pray, but I think also you can decide, God, we're going to give this and we're going to expect you to bless it. Because all the other ones, it was God's idea. Make sure that in your life, you're not just doing what you saw someone else do, what you thought was a good idea, what came to you in the pizza dream the other night. If it was a dream, make sure it was a dream from God. If it was a word, make sure it was a word from God. If it's something you feel in your heart, make sure that it's from God. Because faith is you taking God at his word and expecting him to bless it. The Bible says in multiple places, the just shall live by faith. It says we live and we walk by faith and not by sight. I want you to see this. Faith is for every single moment of every single day. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. Here's the beautiful thing about faith. It's already inside of you. You just have to use it. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift that God gave. That's why when the disciples said, increase your faith, Jesus said, if you have faith. And you do. And so I want to encourage you to walk by faith this week and not by sight, expecting God to bless what he told you to do, no matter how crazy it may sound. I'm not saying God won't call you to do crazy things. He will. But just make sure it's not you being crazy. It's God telling you to do crazy things. Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me? Father, today, as we begin to close out this time of fellowship together in your house, I pray that the faith that you put inside of each and every one of us, that we would not neglect it, but we would mix it with the word. We would mix the word with faith, and that we would walk every single day by faith, expecting miracles to become commonplace, believing that by faith we've received salvation and justification, believing that by faith the word of God becomes profitable and beneficial in our life. By faith, we can advance the kingdom and be used by you in ways that we could never imagine. By faith, we can be divinely warned as Noah was divinely warned. By faith, we can understand that the worlds were framed by the words that you spoke, and you're still framing our very lives by the words that you speak to us every single day. And may we step in step with you and with what you've proclaimed for our life. God, we thank you for faith. And Lord, we're praying for miracles. I'm asking, in fact, if you would just begin to pray with me for miracles in your life, maybe for the person next to you, the person in front of you, behind you, for 2025. God, we're praying for 2025 to be a year of miracles. God, we're praying that as we believe and we seek you for the fundamentals of faith, that faith is the currency that exchanges miracles between heaven and earth. It bridges that invisible gap. And we're asking that as we operate in faith, that you would do what we cannot do. God, we need faith to believe that you can do what seems impossible with man, but nothing is impossible with you. We put our hope and our faith in you and in you alone, and we honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile upon you, and may you live by faith as the just, which meaning the justified, they live by faith. And so, Father, we thank you for that faith, and I speak a blessing over your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd love to see y'all tonight at 6 p.m. We're going to have a great time seeking the Lord and being in his presence. Happy fasting. Love y'all.